Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jerry Minnick. I'm the APCUG advisor for Region 5, which is Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Alabama. And I am physically located in Central Florida, about 40 miles from Disney World, and also from Orlando. I'm going to talk about four different subjects this evening, and each one of them will be short. This gives you a chance to get a wider variety of information, and hopefully it spurs you into getting involved in detail at your own speed, at your own time. If you have any questions that you'd like to send me after the presentation, use the address, email address you see here, jerryminnick@apcug.org, and I will make sure that Jim has a copy of all of these presentations, and he can distribute them as he sees fit. So let's get started. The first thing I want to make you aware of is that Windows 10 has a new thing called Storage Sense, and it helps you to keep your computer cleaned up. Now, this does not mean you don't still run some of your utilities. You may be using a utility like CCleaner, or you may be using some other utility to clean up your computer on a periodic basis, but Storage Sense was developed by Microsoft for Windows 10, and it does it automatically without you having to worry about it. By default, this feature is turned off, so you have to go into the computer settings and turn it on. And I'm going to show you how to do that. As you can see here, I'm in the screen on my PC. The blue squares, I blocked out everything that you don't need to see. Down at the bottom in the search bar, I typed the word storage, and I got a pop-up menu that said storage settings. Of course, that's what I'm where I'm going to go. But the red box shows you that there's other storage things available in Windows 10. So I click on storage settings, and I open up the settings, system, and storage. Notice over on the extreme left-hand side, storage is selected, and there's a little bar by it that shows that that's the category you have selected. Again, these are displays right off my computer. And as you can see, I have a 476 gigabyte drive and 384 gigabytes are still free. And now I want to configure Storage Sense. And so I toggle this Storage Sense toggle switch here from off to on. Then I configure Storage Sense, and I tell it how often I want it to do it, and I want to delete all the downloaded folder files. If I do, I select something besides never, and the locally available cloud content, I can do something with that, and all the way down at the bottom, I can free up space now, meaning that if I click on that, it's going to do a storage sense cleanup. And when I choose the frequency of the automatically generated storage sense I have every day, every week, every month, or only during low free disk space. And again, I show the display to highlight that down at the bottom, you have the free up space now, clean now, and when you click on that, it's going to give you this kind of a result. Clean now, done. We were able to free up 1.84 gigabytes of disk space. So once the storage sense cleanup has been done, it'll tell you how much it freed up if you're doing it manually. It's a solid system. It's an optional feature. You don't have to use it. But when it's enabled, it takes care of temporary files, files in the recycle bin, files in the downloaded folders, and previous versions of Windows 10 to make more room. It's self-activated on low storage, and then if you have a low storage situation on your hard drive, then it's going to get rid of all these additional files, system cache, internet cache, device driver packages, etc., etc., etc. In my humble opinion, StorageSense does not show a progress bar, so that's a disadvantage. Third-party tools can't configure to delete only files that are older than a certain age. You can do that with StorageSense. Third-party tools are disk cleanup on steroids. If you're going to use a third-party, usually utility, use it wisely. And what I'm saying to you is this. There are some disk cleanup tools that are over-aggressive, and they can take out stuff on your computer that you do not want to get rid of. Try it. Try StorageSense and see if you like it. And that's the end of that presentation. Let me go to the next one. Reader's View. Reader's View. Can you see the presentation all right? Okay. Reader's View is really handy. I like it. I have it set up on my iPad and iPhone that it automatically goes to Reader's View if it's available. And Reader's View is available on most devices. I'm not going to go through how to set it up on each individual device. What you need to do is open up your browser, go to your search engine, put in Reader's View for and whatever the name of your device is, and you'll get lots of answers and how to set it up. Often when we open a web page, we get all kinds of ads, and sometimes it takes longer to load all the ads than it does to load the information onto the website that you really want to read. So that's what Reader's View is all about. It gets rid of all of that extra stuff that you don't really want to see when you're trying to read something on the web. It's available in most browsers, and one tap does it all. Here is an example. Now, this is a page that I opened on the internet, and you notice that what I have circled in red are, in fact, advertisements or things that you're not interested in because you're interested in the article over here, which you scroll down to see. Also, there's an ad over here, and you got some stuff up here too, and this is just one example. So, I'm not in Reader's View. If I look at the same web page in Reader's View, this is what I get. This is from ZDNet, and it's saying that the article has these kind of attributes, and if you scroll down further, it begins with paragraphs of information on here's how you can still get a Windows 10 upgrade for free. The Reader's View usually appears somewhere in the address bar. I know this is a little fuzzy, but the Reader's View is shown as a little book here in Windows Edge browser. And when you click on it, it gets rid of all the periphery and all you have is a main article. One of the downsides to Reader's View is sometimes it eliminates pictures that are in the article that help you understand what's going on. So check it out. Look for icons in the address bar. Some pictures are lost in Reader's View. When you click on Reader's View, you're going to go to the Reader's View display. When you click on it a second time, you're going to return to the normal web page. And again, you need to go and open up your browser and use, when I say Google it, I mean use a search engine, because Google is a search engine. The search engine I use is called DuckDuckGo. And DuckDuckGo search engine does not allow you to be tracked. That's why I use it. Now, one example that I wanted to give about Reader's View is for your iPad or your iPhone. And you need to set it up by going to Settings and then going to Safari. Scroll down to the Settings for Websites section. Tap Reader and toggle Automatically Use Reader's View On All Websites. And that's exactly what I've done on my iPhone and my iPad. And I like it. Do all sites have Reader's View? No. A vast majority of them do. The reason some sites don't have Reader's View is because those advertisements are the only way they make money. And so why should they eliminate the advertisements? Again, if you have comments or questions about Reader's View, please feel free to email me and I will answer all emails. Be aware of the fact that sometimes my answer to an email is, I don't know. And that's okay. Moving right along. Privacy updates. Privacy updates in Windows 10. Now, privacy updates in Windows 10 and privacy settings in Windows 10. I happen to think this is very important. Yes, I realize I don't have a lot of privacy left, but I do have some privacy that I want to hold on to. And notice that I gave this presentation at the Leesburg Library in Leesburg, Florida. That's where I live. And I have an email for the local people called programslscs@gmail.com. LSCS, the Lake Sumter Computer Society. And I am the program director for the Lake Sumter Computer Society. Windows 10, Microsoft actually has gotten very good recently about protecting your data and the information that you give them. And they've given greater control of that information and data to you. And understanding that is a big step towards maintaining a certain degree of privacy. If you want to move or uninstall apps, you go to Settings, Apps, Apps and Features. You select an app. You use a toggle to move it, modify it, or uninstall it. And this is what I'm looking at on my computer again. I'm in Settings, up here at the top. Oh, sorry, there you go. I'm in Apps and Features, and when I go to Apps and Features, I get a list of all the apps that I have on my PC, and here they are. And I can search this list if it's extensive, or I can just go down through it because it is listed alphabetically. So again, I'm in Settings, and I'm in Apps, and I'm in Apps and Features. I'm sorry, let me go back. What you're doing here is you are saying to Windows 10, there's certain apps that I don't want, and when you click on that app, you're going to get, in a lot of cases, the ability to take that app and remove it from the operating system. Now, if I also go down to Windows Settings and Privacy, I can set up privacy on my different features of Windows 10. And let me show you what that looks like. First off, again, I'm in Settings up here at the top. I'm in Privacy, and I'm in Location right now for App Permissions. I want you to notice that there's also inking and typing personalization, diagnostic and feedback information, and activity history information that you can set your privacy on. But for app permissions, I go to Settings, Privacy, and under the app, I choose what I want to have done. So, when you click on location, you get a screen that looks like this, and you get a list of the apps that want your location. I just scrolled down a little bit. I was on the same page, and I scrolled down, and as you can see, all these different apps on my computer want to know what my location is. And I say, no. You can set it any way you want to. And I don't show you the complete list. That would just be many more pages of displays here during the presentation. But you get the idea. You need to go into the location. You need to scroll down through these things, and you need to toggle. This is called a toggle switch. Toggle them on or off as you see fit. Be aware of the fact that when this thing was sent to you and you downloaded the operating system, some of these will be on and some of them will be off. You set them the way you want them to be. And then you go down to camera and you do the same thing. And then you go down to microphone and you do the same thing. And then you go down to voice activation, notifications, motion. And I wanted to show you account information. Now, when I'm talking about account information, here are the four apps that want information about me, my account info. And it's explained up here. And some of these settings are managed by the administrator. Right? Allow apps to access your account info. So I turn that off. And that means that all of these are off. If I turned that on, then these would be either on or off, and I could set them individually. I do not use Microsoft Edge, so I see no reason for my account information to be available to Microsoft Edge. And I don't use email and accounts there for the same reason. So again, you have a long list of app permissions here that you need to go through one at a time. Who's got access to your contacts? Now that's one that I set down and said no, because my contact list to me is private to me, and if I give it out to anybody, then gosh, I'm losing the faith of those people keeping their contact information private. So Microsoft is really getting good about giving you some options here where they haven't in the past. And they also want to collect diagnostic data from you. And so you need to make a conscious decision about that. And in my opinion, Microsoft is not paying me any money. In fact, I'm paying them money. So, you know, why not just give them basic information instead of a full level of information? And that's the only two settings you have when it comes to diagnostic data. Diagnostic and feedback data. And you can go in now and delete the data that Microsoft has collected about this device so far. And as you can see here, the last time I did that was 10/25 on 2019. And I want to turn that setting off. And that's the way I feel about it. Also, diagnostic data that you send to Microsoft. Again, like I said a minute ago, you have a basic and you have a full. And it's my understanding that this is a default setting, full, and if you send them full information, there is some personal information in that. And so you want to make that decision whether you want them to have that or not. Examples of privacy settings, right? Inking and typing. I turn it off. They don't need to know how I type. And oh, by the way, I'm a two-fingered typer. One finger on each hand, that's the best I can do. But again, I don't need them to collect data like that and enrich my experience, however you do that with typing and inking. And you can scroll down a little bit further and you can see tailored experiences and stop targeted ads. And I do that. Let Microsoft offer you tailored experiences. Our personalized tips, ads, and recommendations that enhance Microsoft products and services for your needs. Wait a second. I don't think so. And that's the kind of thing you need to get into in privacy. It takes a while, and let me caution you that when Microsoft comes out with a big change to the operating system, they may reset some of those privacy settings that you have already set up. So you want to be careful about them changing your mind for you. Last but not least, I was asked to talk a little bit about how to and should I upgrade to Windows 10 from Windows 7. And in my humble opinion, the answer is yes. If you're running Windows 7 at this point in time, you need to upgrade. As of midnight on the 13th or 0001 on the 14th of January, Windows 7 will no longer be supported by Microsoft. And so you're not going to get any security updates or updates to the operating system that are critical. Additionally, what some people seem to forget is an app that was developed by somebody that you're running in Windows 7 is probably not going to be supported either. Why would the app developers support something for an operating system that is not being supported? So what happens? If you stick with Microsoft Windows 7 and you get an infection, you also may not be able to find a removal tool for that. So you lose security updates and support. Now, again, I just said in the last presentation, to me, privacy is better in Windows 10 than in previous editions of Windows. So that means Windows 7. It's better than, privacy is better than in 10 than it is in 8.1. But also, you have these other things that are supposed to be better in Windows 10 than they are in 7. And there's a long list of them here. A better screen capture tool, I believe that. The clipboard has improved in Windows 10. You can tie your smartphone into Windows 10. Dark mode and light mode, I'm not too sure that I'm in favor of that, but it's something that they've come out with in the recent updates to Windows 10, plus nearby sharing. But what do you need to do to get started so that you can have a trouble-free upgrade from either Windows 7 or 8.1 to 10? And the list is small, but you have to pay particular attention to a couple things, or you may, in fact, have more problems than you want when you're trying to do your upgrade. First off, you got to make sure that your Windows that you're going from is properly activated. And Microsoft is trying to get around the fact that people have pirated or unactivated copies of Windows that they're running on their machines, and they're going to upgrade to Windows 10 from those pirated or unactivated copies. Then you have to, oh, by the way, if you want to find out if your Windows 8.1 or your Windows 7 is activated, here's some simple steps to do it. The Windows logo key plus W, type activated, and you'll see the results. Or you can do the control panel, system, and then you'll see the status of the machine. And it'll tell you, activated. Windows is activated. It's what it looks like in Windows 8. And this is what it looks like in Windows 7. So finding out whether your running Windows 7 or running Windows 8 is activated properly and authorized by Microsoft is not difficult at all. Next, you want to back up your PC. And I'm talking about your data files, not your operating system. I don't want you to do an image, but I want you to do a backup of the personal files, the installed apps, your pictures, etc. Because if you run into a problem, you don't want to lose all that stuff. Then you should turn off any third-party antivirus tool. There's some antivirus tools out there that will hamper or even prevent you from doing an upgrade because that's what they're all about. I'm using Windows Defender. I have a laptop that I'm running right now. Joyce has a laptop. We're both running Windows 10. We both use Windows Defender or whatever they call it in the previous editions of Windows. I think it does a very reasonable job. I match the Microsoft antivirus with Malwarebytes, and I'm happy. And if anybody has any questions about Malwarebytes, I know Jim can fill you in on that. After you've done an upgrade to Windows 10, then you make sure that you reinstall your antivirus or reactivate it. Now you need to go over and get a little tool that Microsoft has available for free called the Update Assistant, and you can find it at that website right there. And this tool will determine whether you have a 32-bit or a 64-bit current version, and it'll update to the same 32 or 64-bit. You cannot move from a 32-bit to a 64-bit using the upgrade to update tool, even if your PC supports it. And again, at the bottom of the page, I show a bit.ly. That bit.ly is the same as that long software download Windows 10 URL address at the middle of the page. This is the same as this. And this is what the download assistant looks like. This is the web page that you go to, and then you choose one of the options that you see on this page for updating from a Windows 7 or 8.1 to 10. When you're ready to upgrade, you run the installer tool, and it's called Media Creation Tool. You select the upgrade this PC now on your screen. You click the next button and off it goes. How long will it take? It depends on a couple things. Consideration. If you're doing a upgrade on a computer and you're going to do a lot of information to upgrade, I would think about connecting an Ethernet cable and not using Wi-Fi. I have a 50-foot Ethernet cable at my disposal, so when I'm doing a big change to one of the computers, I plug that in to the back of my modem router and the other end into my computer and don't use Wi-Fi. Therefore, I don't lose any signals because of opening and shutting doors, turning on the microwave, etc., etc. All those things work at the same frequency, by the way. So this is the screen you'll get when you do a Windows 10 setup and you want to create installation media on another PC. No, you don't want to do that. That's what's selected here, but you don't want to do that. You want to do upgrade this PC now. I use howtogeek.com. I love howtogeek.com. They are a fantastic website. They speak in plain English. They explain terms that they use. Most of my tips and tricks for Windows 10 comes from howtogeek.com. So again, these two references are the same. This reference here is the same as this bit.ly down here. They're the same website. And that's it. That's how you do a Windows 10 upgrade from Windows 7 or 8.1. Any questions?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, when you upgrade, as you say, do you have to pay for that new copy of Windows 10?
No. According to the internet, no. There are ways to get around that. And so anybody who wants to upgrade and not pay the price, then you need to open up your browser and you need to Google how to get Windows 10 upgrade for free. And I've seen at least 5 different articles on it that made sense to me. Not that I had to do it, but they made sense to me. So I think it's still available for free out there.
If you did do that, and it wouldn't do it for nothing, what kind of money would we be looking at to buy a legitimate copy of Win 10?
Last price I saw was $139.
If one goes through the procedure, are there any programs one might have on their Win 7 box you've had for quite a while that Windows 10 simply wouldn't recognize?
I'm not too sure I understood that.
Okay. You go ahead and upgrade to Windows 10. Could it find some of the existing programs you are running under Windows 7 that it doesn't like?
I don't know the answer to that.
I found that VersaCheck would not run because I was using about a 15-year-old version of it, and it wouldn't run under anything past XP. And I'm sure there are other programs as well, because these smaller companies can't always update things, or they want you to buy their new stuff. They do have new stuff available. You just would have to pay for it. Other questions?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, you mentioned the recycle bin. I guess it still exists. What goes into it? When I delete a file, say from Word, does it go there?
Yes.
Oh, so I could recover it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right.
How do I get to it?
The recycle bin should be an icon on your desktop.
It isn't.
Hmm.
Not in 10, it was in 7.
I don't have an answer for that one because I got it.
If you right click anywhere on the desktop, you go to personalization, you go to themes, there's a place on there that says desktop icons, and you can click and make sure that recycle bin's on the icon. If it depends on the manufacturer and how you got Windows 10, sometimes they're not. None of those icons are there, and you have to add them. So you'd have to. I can help you do it. Bring it over.
All right, let me give you, have I got a couple minutes left?
Sure.
Okay, let me give you some tips and tricks. These are from me, okay? Let's talk about restart your computer versus shutdown. Now, if you go over and you click on the start button, and I'm talking Windows 10, and then you go up one notch and you click on the little symbol that's for power, you usually get three options: restart, shutdown, and sleep, or hibernate, perhaps. Okay. What's the difference? Well, the difference is significant, all right? If you are having a problem with your computer, or let's say you get a pop-up and it says, we're the FBI, and if you don't pay us some money, we're going to throw you in jail, and yada, yada, yada. It's better for you to restart your computer than it is to shut it down and bring it back up, because restart reloads all the programs and the operating system. Shutdown may, in fact, save whatever you had on your computer last, and when you start it up again, it's going to bring it right back up. Everybody understand? Okay, so use restart. And then if you want to clean up your computer before you shut it down, restart it and then shut it down. Next one, and this is the one that I have a hard time convincing people about. Don't turn your printer off. If you have an inkjet printer, do not turn your printer off. Trace and I have a summer home in Michigan. We came back from Michigan on the 15th of October. I turn my printer on down here, and I'll leave it on until I go back up to Michigan again. The only reason I would turn it off is if I have a lightning storm. And let me tell you why. Because when you are using an inkjet printer and you turn the printer off, the printer dumps the ink from the bottom of the it dumps the ink out of the print head from the, it's either on the bottom of the cartridge or the bottom of the ink cartridge print head holder. All right? So a certain amount of ink is dumped because, oh, by the way, it goes into a spittoon. That's exactly what they call it, a spittoon. And then the spittoon leads the ink down a tube into a felt pad in the bottom of your printer. Now, why do they dump the ink out of the print head? Because when you turn your printer off, the manufacturer does not know how long it will be off. And if you turn it off and don't clear the ink out of the ink in the print head will dry up. And when the ink in the print head dries up, it won't print anymore. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you agree with me, Jim?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I turn my printers off unless I'm leaving town.
All right, next. They have a new snipping bar that's really cool with Windows 10. If you have something on your screen and you want to capture it, you hold down the Windows logo key, the shift key, and hit the S key. S like in Sierra. So hold down Windows logo key and the shift key, hit S, and you get an overcast of your screen display, and now you move your mouse, you click down, and you open up a box, and when you let go of the mouse, you have snipped, and you get a projection up on the corner of your screen that says, this is what went to the clipboard. And then you can do the old clipboard thing and do whatever with you want to with it, because you just snipped it off of your desktop. Jim, have you used that?
Yeah, but I usually get there through the start key. I didn't know about the shortcuts.
Okay. Also, if you want a complete record of whatever's on your screen at the time, you can hit that key called print screen. P-R-T-S-C-R-N, print screen. And of course, when you hit the key called print screen, whatever is on your desktop goes to the clipboard. And then you can open it up Word or WordPad or some other word processing program and paste it. Once it goes to the clipboard, you can paste it. Now, a new thing that they have in Windows 10, of course, is that the clipboard is cumulative. Prior to this last change in Windows 10, the clipboard was not cumulative. So if you put something on the clipboard and then 2 minutes later you put something else on the clipboard, whatever you put on there first went away. Now, you can have a cumulative clipboard, and then when you go to paste it, you can choose what you want to paste from the clipboard, and you set that up by going into Settings, into System, into Clipboard. Now, last but not least, Windows 10 is coming out with a November 2019 update. On the 12th of November, 2019. Ooh, that's today. How about that? and that doesn't mean everybody's going to get it all at the same time, but it's starting to roll out today, and it's going to be a slow rollout. So it may take a while for you to get it. This is the 8th refresh of Windows 10 since the original release, and it will be called version 1909. So we're going from version 1903 now to 1909. Now, there's no big deal with this thing. No significant features or visual changes. But Microsoft is trying something different this time. And it's being offered as a light cumulative update on devices that are already running 1903, version 1903, okay? And if you're running an older version, then you got a little thing to worry about, but nothing significant. It's not guaranteed. But even with these new changes, but even with these new changes that they're coming out with, you will not receive that update unless you request it. So how do you request it? You go to Settings, you go to Updates and Security, and when that screen pops up, you click on What's the Latest Update? That's how you request things. There's more information on this Windows getting Windows 10 November update thing at windowscentral.com. If you contact me, I can send you the bit.ly on it, or I can give you more information about it from the article itself. Just something new, 1909 is starting out today. And that's it. I've taken enough of your time.
Thank you.